One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Going on, y'all, and thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hell, and as always, the man behind, well, I would say the DM screen, but I haven't got him back there yet, but it's gonna happen. The king of D20, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in studio. I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I got my liquid death over here, and I'm ready to go, man. I'm excited. I have a funny experience I wanted to share with everybody. So the twins, Jacob no longer is playing baseball. He got a little burnt out on it and decided to take a break. Totally get that. I don't know if I've addressed that before. But anyways, they decided to take up kickboxing.
Yeah.
And they've been going and they like it. And what's funny is one of the boys, the twins, they're identical twins. One is Jacob, one is Caleb. They're constantly fighting with each other, as all brothers do. You know, this
Well, first of all, how big are they?
6'1", about 210 each.
And they're 14.
And they're 14. Yeah, they're adopted. So I've never met the biological father, but I heard he was a giant. Anyways.
These boys are great. It's so funny.
They always are trying to one-up each other. So Caleb originally went to kickboxing and took a couple classes. And then, you know, got school started or something happened and they got kind of busy and was like, we're going to go back in a future date and never got around to it. Well, recently, Jacob was watching, Cobra Kai on Netflix. Now, I've never seen it, but I know it's the new version of The Karate Kid, right?
Yeah.
So I guess after binge watching all three seasons of that, or ever how many there are on there, he was like, you know, do you think I could do kickboxing? And I was like, yeah. I mean, we have a really good friend that owns his own gym. He owns kickboxing, jiu-jitsu, everything. And Neanderthal Fight Company.
Yep.
And so I was like, sure. And he's like, okay, well, will you call Uncle Monty and set it up? I'm like, no worries. So I text him and like, all right, well, there's a class tomorrow night if you want to go. Perfect. So I drop Jacob off. He goes, has a really good time, comes home. Caleb is off in his own world. So he come home. He's like, where y'all been? I was like, oh, Jacob is at kickboxing. He's like, Jacob's taking kickboxing? Well, I want to go.
And why?
And I go, well, why do you want to go? And he goes, well, I can't have him training. He'll be able to beat me up. So if he's going to train, then I'm going to train. So they're literally doing it so that they can have one day akumite with themselves.
You're going to have to put a cage in the backyard.
So this has been the thing in my house, right? So like this has been going on for about 2 weeks and they're talking about their moves that they're learning and, you know, whatever, growing pains. So I am like, have you ever seen the movie Kickboxer with Jean-Claude Van Damme? They're like, no. And I'm like,
Tong Po?
You need to check it out. So they go watch it and they come out of the room like in, I don't know, an hour and 20. I'm like, what did you think? They're like, this movie's garbage. I'm like, what? Like, you have to remember, as a kid, I loved all of those movies. Cyborg, Bloodsport, Kickboxer. But what had never dawned on me is when I was a kid, there was no UFC. So I never got to see real guys fight. They've grown up watching it their whole life.
That's true.
So when they were watching UFC since the time they were born, when they watch Kickboxer, they're like, that's ridiculous. You could never do that to somebody. Why is the guy just standing there waiting for him to jump, spin through the air and hit him in the face?
I was holding one of those boys. I think it was Jacob when they were 3 days old and we were watching a Chuck Liddell fight.
But you know what I mean?
That's all they've
known.
So
they've seen real fighting. So when they watch it, it's like, this is preposterous. When I was a kid, I thought you could do that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you drop a coconut from the tree on my stomach.
Yeah.
I go to this old stone temple and you like stab a spear at me and I practice kicking.
Did you train under Frank Dukes?
Oh, yeah. And there was like a hawk, a red-tailed hawk watching me as I train. And it's
and spirits of old, like old TIE fighters were still there, like they're ghosts.
Yeah. Right. Like right exactly. Like,
yeah.
Right. And then you know, you dip your hands in resin and broken glass
and you wrap them in like white rope.
Yeah, and the whole time he's just punching, and the guy just nobody's dodging anything.
No,
and they I was a kid, I thought that's the way it would go.
And there's no head injury. You get people. That's what. As a kid, I thought you just knock somebody out. They were out, and just conveniently are always out where you could do your shenanigans, and then they would come too. And then you realize, like, no, if you get knocked out, it's a bad thing. Okay.
So I realized as an adult that it's ridiculous, the movies. But I was just, my feelings were hurt a little bit because a movie that I watched probably 400 times as a kid.
Did you go in there and finish it while they went on outside and did their stuff?
No, I don't need to. I can tell them exactly what happens. I mean, I can probably write the script.
That's just true.
I'm serious. But there was a time period for about 3 years when I was in middle school, maybe freshman high school, where I had Bloodsport and Kickboxer on VHS. And so when we came home, we would just pop that in over and over and over. We didn't have cable or nothing.
We were kids of the 80s, so that's what we knew is crazy karate fights.
Right, and me and my brother and you and everybody. I mean, that's what we did. We had our own kumites on the trampoline.
It was craziness. You tried to do crazy flying moves and it, yeah. And the boys are like,
"This is garbage.
Dad, you're a loser."
Yeah, so it didn't
work. Funny. That is funny.
That's my funny story for the week. What have you been up to?
Man, I have a surprise, and I will share it on the show's stuff. Y'all know about the hunt that I had gone on and all that stuff. So I've got all the video done, and it's going to be released, I believe, next week. So you'll be able to go and view it. And next week I'll talk about it on the show and all that stuff when I can really get to it. But you're going to be able to see a lot of they're going to run a trailer, and then you'll be able to watch all the work that we put in and the hunts. So if you're into something like that, you'll be able to check it out. I'll make sure to share it. But that's pretty much it. Is I've just been working on that and working around here, and things are getting back into the groove of being done with that. And now I've already been asked to go do some more video work. So who knows where this is going to end up going.
Right.
On top of the wild stuff that we have. But I got something that's wild that I have to share with y'all. This comes from France. France. We come from France.
France.
No, nobody likes Coneheads? That's another great movie. Remember?
You're definitely aging, dating yourself.
You don't like that movie? The TV? Now look, when they were on Saturday Night Live, it was great. Jane Curtin. Underrated comedic actress. She's amazing. But anyway, I digress. This is about Jura Mountains in France. A bipedal dog man was observed.
Okay.
That's right, y'all. This is what it says. A French woman and her friend noticed this up in the mountain. It says, I would like to share what happened to me in mid-April of 2015. It was the end of the afternoon and the light was good. I had decided to take a little walk in the Jura Mountain Forest in eastern France, where I live, with a friend and my little dog. We chose a place where I parked my car and we began to stroll. It didn't take too long before I began to feel nervous. As we were walking, we heard a horrible noise. It sounded like doves. This is what it sounded like when they cried. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, y'all.
I was just about to say something.
I'm sorry if that ruined the mood, but I think it sounds better. Because it sounded like doves, but they were not singing. See? They were crying. They were screaming. It was the first time I've heard this noise. I laughed and said to my friend, I feel like they don't want us in the forest for some reason. We pushed on, and the path was wide as we got further along, and suddenly, I noticed something moving down the track to the side of us. I realized it was an animal, and I thought it was a large dog. The color was very black. Now, I was upset and told my friend I'd rather go back to the car. I didn't want my little dog to cross what I thought was a big dog off its leash, and luckily I had my little pup on the leash. I started to turn around and return to the car, but my friend stayed and watched to see if she could place the rogue dog without an owner. I was walking for a few minutes when I heard my friend screaming, "Run! Run!" Without looking back, I accelerated my pace and arrived at the car out of breath. I put my little dog into the car, and before I got in, I looked down the path and I saw a deep black-colored creature walking into the forest away from us. I was so surprised and shocked, I couldn't believe it. I could only see the top up to the shoulders of this creature. Now, my friend who joined me at the car explained to me what she saw. She said that this creature moved by slipping at high speed along the side, then seemed to get its momentum and straighten up onto its hind legs. Now, my friend told me, and this is what I can confirm, that she was over that she was over, it says, 2 meters tall. Okay?
Okay.
So we couldn't see its eyes. It says the creature stopped when it saw my friend. They looked at each other for a few seconds. Then the creature decided to turn into the woods. My friend told me it had a dog's head and the ears were pinned down. The creature had a muscular body, which thick torso and thighs, that was covered with deep black hair, and that we were shocked. It goes back in and says, we later decided to go back to the forest to see if there was an explanation. They looked, nothing. Now get a load of this. 2 weeks later, says it's very strange because we got out of the car on the evening visit and we immediately felt something was wrong. The atmosphere was different. There was complete silence. We began to walk, and after a few minutes, I felt anxious again. I decided to go back, and my friend tried to push into the trees, but she also came back running because the creature was there again. It was standing in the woods looking at us. I had not seen the creature this time, thankfully. We would like to be courageous enough to take a picture of it. I don't know that that we are, and also that we're not the only ones to have seen this dog man, and we're sure that that's what we saw. We learned that someone else saw it as well a few days earlier. So I told some friends to be careful if they decide to go out in there and hunt because
right, yeah.
Because the forest is abnormally silent. And then he goes back into talking about, you know, where other people have had this experience and seen something out there already. Like there's been 3 or 4 people already have talked about what is this. What's odd to me is they saw it and then it was still there 2 weeks later.
That is crazy.
So either it's they're full on, right? Either it is completely and full on misidentified, which we've always talked about. How do you misidentify a walking dog? I don't know. Or there really is something crazy to this. Now, here's another thing I find odd. I don't know anything that runs faster in nature on 2 legs than it does on 4.
Right.
So why, when it's running to get away, does it shift up to run on 2 legs? It's not running to get away. That's just the way it moves.
You know, and also France, for whatever reason, has a lot of the early stories of like werewolf sightings.
And you remember the wolves that were taking people? I mean, France has had a long history with wolves, much like Indian tigers, right? Like there's been a long, rough history with that.
Yeah. And a funny story. I was recently, there was a book that was written about werewolves and dog men and stuff. And I contacted Manzanita at Inner Tradition Books. She's a publisher that sends us lots of stuff. And anyways, I was like, hey, could you give me this book? She was like, yeah. And I was like, give me the guy's contact information. I'd love to do an interview with him. She's like, yeah, there's only one problem. I go, yeah, what's that?
Let me guess. He's French.
He only speaks French.
Holy moly.
So I was like, well, I guess that's not going to work. But I'll take the book and maybe I can dissect it myself.
Yeah. Is the book in English? Did they translate it?
The book is in English. So I guess he wrote maybe it and then they translated it. I don't know.
I guess so. Right. Well, we'll have to check it out.
Yeah. Very cool. Check this out. This comes from one of our listeners. It says, hey, guys, I'm just now discovering your podcast and loving it.
Well, welcome and thanks for joining us.
My name is Levi and I'm from Janesville, Wisconsin. I have a pale crawler story I'd like to tell.
Woohoo!
I want to call it in and say it in person, but honestly, seeing this thing has changed my life entirely and I can't seem to talk about it without getting emotional and anxious. It all happened on an Easter at my grandparents' house, probably 17 years ago when I was 10. My cousins and I would always go to the basement and watch the TV down there and play with Grandpa's train set that he also had down there. The basement is shaped kind of like a donut. You walk down the stairs and come out into the main room. It is the only finished part of the basement. To the right of the staircase is a door that leads to the laundry area and then loops all the way around to the other end of the main room. My cousins and I were all in that main room just hanging out for whatever reason. I then decided to go to the end of the main room and go around the corner to check out the back room. As I turned the corner into the dark back room, I saw something that terrifies me to this day. The only light in the back room was from an egress window where the sun was shining in and dim light at the far end by the laundry machines. The walls were lined with boxes and totes of random objects, leaving only a small path to walk from one end to the other. About halfway down the room, there was what looked like a man, crouching really low. He kind of looked like Gollum from Lord of the Rings. It almost looked like the figure was naked, yet there were no signs of genitalia. Its skin, complexion, was almost a light gray, and it had really long arms and no hair anywhere on its body. I stopped in my tracks, and it noticed me immediately. Turning its head, it looked directly at me, and we made eye contact. When it turned to look at me, it was almost as if its eyes were white with eyeshine. They just seemed a little bit brighter than normal animal eyeshine. Its mouth was slightly open, as if it was breathing through its mouth. It had no nose, or if it did, it was very flat. When we made eye contact, I felt the most fear I've ever felt, and to this day, in my adult life, whenever I think about it, my stomach goes into my throat. My heart rate rises, and I get tears in my eyes. After a brief second of eye contact, it turned and did a Spider-Man crawl very low to the ground, out of sight, behind some of the boxes. Before it was halfway behind the clutter, I bolted out of that basement and have never gone back down there to this day. I think about this thing almost daily until I found your podcast. I was having a hard time finding anyone else who had seen something similar. What really boggles my mind is how it got into the basement. And that terrifies me because there is no way into the basement except for the stairs or those little windows. There were no signs of a break-in, so my thoughts were either, one, it was there before we had gotten to my grandparents' house and had snuck in at some point when they weren't watching, or B, or two, it has some abilities such as teleportation, shape-shifting, or even the ability to squeeze through tiny holes like a rat, which would allow it for it how skinny this thing was. Thank you for this podcast. It really helps me get through my workday. Sincerely, Levi.
Levi, don't feel bad about getting emotional over that stuff will shake you.
Yeah, very scary.
That's normal. That's one of those things that, yeah, you put some thought into it. That stuff's going to get you. I wonder if it is like a rat. Like if they can get their head in, it's coming in, right?
I don't know. And I know that a lot of people, they don't like the pale crawler stories. They'll say, oh, you fools, it was invented on creepypasta and stuff. But, you know, there have been lots of sightings long before creepypasta was ever even a website. So,
well, and like we've talked about, there's been a lot of stuff that's been what they thought was invented and then it comes out that it's almost like a thought form.
Yeah, right.
Like we've built it, you know, or grown it up. Who the heck knows? Levi, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks so much for being part of the group now and sharing that. That is, disturbing as hell. Gollum is just creepy to start
with. He is, yeah.
Let's just be straight up, right? It's just a very creepy thing to start with. And as long as we're talking about creepy, let's take a quick break. And we come back on the other side of this break. I'm going to be discussing some stuff that has to do with saltwater and terror all rolled into one. I think you're going to like it, folks. Stick around. We're going to get into some nightmares at sea. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Oh, All right, y'all, let's dive into this. Dive being the opportune word, because, yeah, we're talking about the ocean. And if any of you have listened for any length of time, like basically more than two shows, you know how much I despise it, right? It just freaks me out. I can't help it. Y'all all send messages. It's great. I get the greatest memes, funniest tags and stuff because of it. Y'all aren't the only ones. Like, my whole family knows I don't like it. All my friends know I don't like it. It's not that I don't like it, right? I love the ocean. I love fishing, all of this. I just don't want to be in the ocean, nor do I really want to be out on the ocean away from land, right? Like, I'm just not okay with that. And this is another one of those things that led to this, because I've done it in the past. We've talked about ghost ships and strange sightings and undersea objects. And really and truly, I don't understand why there's not more looked into with the stuff in the ocean. I guess because it's so vast. Well, let's be honest. What's the difference between the ocean and the Sahara Desert? I mean, really and truly, you can't drink in either one, right? You've got to bring water out to be in the middle of either one. And they all both are teeming with life. You just have to know where to look. And so it's just a vast wet desert is basically all it is. Maybe that's why I panic. I don't know. But there's so many weird things that go on. The ocean is a very, very strange place. Hell, we live in a strange place. The ocean is very strange. Now, I'm going to start off real easy with some soft toss, right? We're going to soft toss these. Most everyone listening probably knows of the Flying Dutchman, right? I mean, you've heard the stories. If you haven't, it's real easy. I mean, you can just punch it in. It probably is the most famous of all the ghost ships when you talk about a ghost ship. So the story goes, it disappeared one time, right? Back in, I want to say like 1650s, right? 1645 to 1660, somewhere right around in there. I can't remember the exact, I know it's like mid 1600s, but I can't remember exactly when it is. But the story goes that it was rounding the Cape of Good Hope, the Flying Dutchman was, and everything was lost, right? Everything's gone. It went under, whatever, it disappeared. Then there were sightings, and there's still sightings before, but they were sightings. One of the most famous sightings of it came from King George V. I believe it was like in the late 1800s or so, but they had talked about seeing it. People had seen, not King George himself, but the people of, right? And maybe it was King George himself, actually, that reported on it before becoming king. But I remember that there were several of people seeing it. Then you jump ahead. There was another one. There's another, I don't know, it's not near as famous. The Northumberland Strait has a burning ship on it. Yeah, as crazy as that sounds, right? Back in 1786, there was a burning ship that was reported there off of Prince Edward Island there in Canada, which is beautiful. And I'm not even know if there's any, like, I'm not even sure that there's any record of what ship that actually was, if they even know, right? Like, I'm not even sure if they even know. I do know that they made a stamp, and if you look at the stamp, like, and this is way back earlier, like in early 2000s, they made a stamp of this. But what it looks like is a burning, like a three-mast, what do they call it? Are they schooners? I think it's a schooner, like a three-mast schooner that's on fire. Anyway, there's all of these stuff. You jump forward again, you can go to the Mary Celeste, right? We talk about the Mary Celeste, 1872, November. Again, found less than a month off Azores, and it was completely unabandoned, right? Which is what's really crazy. They say the ship was completely seaworthy. It had 6 months of rations, so food and water. All of the crew's personal effects and valuables were still on there. There was just nothing, right? It was just like they legitimately left. Pirates, nobody, there's no bodies. There's nothing was like looted, just gone. And what was really strange is one lifeboat was gone. One lifeboat. But what's funny is I'm not sure, maybe the whole crew at the time could fit in one lifeboat, but they've still never said as to why you would abandon a perfectly good ship. Now, of course, my mind goes into the USOs and UFOs and abductions and a lot of these missing people that have gone missing on the water that they have found these ghost ships and things could have easily been linked to being taken by maybe abduction, maybe taken by alien, right? Now, when it was first came out back in, I believe it was in 2011, we reported on it early when it became a thing. But don't forget about Ocean X. Ocean X reported the Baltic Sea anomaly. And that looks, that's off the coast of Sweden. And that damn thing looks like a UFO underwater, right? I know that it looks like there's a skid mark where it looks like it slid in. That son of a gun's like 300 or 400 meters long. Like it's a big slide. Then it goes into it. Also know that the grooves are supposed to be, I don't know, 60, 70 yards or meters rather, like deep. Like there, it's a big, it looks like something may have, it could have slid off. It could have been an asteroid. It could have been a lot of different things. I know there's been a lot of researchers talk about it. I don't know. It's kind of gone quiet, which makes you really wonder these days, right? Of course, there's a lot more going on in the news and a lot more going on in our lives than worrying about an underwater crashed alien ship, but I'm pretty interested in it. I just haven't seen it. I don't know that they may be doing research, right? Or they may be keeping it from us. That's one of those things is like, what'd you find down there? Being that now y'all came forward as far as the government and everyone's acknowledging it, why don't we just move forward? Why don't we go ahead and dig in there and find out what's going on? I know there's been a lot of people talk about it, right? There's been a lot of divers look at it and all this stuff. But I'm like, have you dove it? If you've not dove down there and actually laid a discerning eye upon it, then what's the point, right? Like, sit here and argue about it all you want to. Get down there. It's right there. Again, the thing with the water. Don't forget, we also discussed, and I've talked about this because Kyle and I get geeked up about it, thinking about giant squid or other sea monsters, is back in early 2000s, don't forget about that big great white shark. Remember they tagged a great white shark there off the coast. I believe it was in Australia. And then it just vanished. Y'all remember that? Like something grabbed it. And I want to say it happened like within less than 30 seconds. It was like 1900 foot deeper or something. Like it was something insane, right? As it dove off the depth and then like the temperature dropped or maybe its temperature went up that's what it was. Its temperature rose and then is it descended like it was going into something's stomach, right? Like something had swallowed it. What could it have been? If something swallowed a giant shark, could it have been a killer whale? Could it have been isn't it sperm whales? I think they eat the heck out of like great white sharks. But I guess it could have been something along those lines. But, you know, again, I just like to believe there's a little bit more to it. That's just me. Anyway, there's also a story I read one time and I got it. It's here off of Reddit that apparently back in 2012, a person had posted that they were on a cruise like going to Bermuda. And in the Bermuda, I guess I'm going to assume the triangle, right? But that they were out on deck one night when they say that a large cloud parted in the sky and that a giant beam of bright blue light went straight up like from the cloud, right? Like, I guess maybe it doesn't really clearly say if it goes up or down of which way they first saw it. Some say they thought it was a lightning bolt. Others say they thought it was a spotlight. But either way, the clouds open, this beam of light comes out and goes down like into the water. It's on the horizon, so you couldn't really tell. The people involved, the captain, allegedly this person talked to the captain, all of these people involved, nobody ever really knew what it was, could never really figure it out, because it makes no sense for the clouds to part and there to be a beam, there to be something along those lines, right? It just zero. But then that got me to thinking more about strange lights over the water. And we've seen a lot of this. When I say we, I mean as far as in research, we've seen a lot of this, right? We've read of this. We've heard these stories. We know of the stories that Lieutenant Favor Commander Favor has come out with and talked about the things that they have seen when he was on Rogan's podcast. And you hear all these UFO reports. I found this here that says, I was a Navy sailor who went out to sea many times for weeks at a time. One of my jobs was being a lookout to spot boats, planes, and other things in the water or up in the air pretty much and report it back to the ship. Now, my lookout rotation could have had me standing watch during the day or night, and sometimes both. And it was during the nights where I was pretty afraid, especially if you were at the back of the ship alone. For anyone who hasn't been out into the middle of the ocean in the middle of the night, you should realize that you see many more lights in the sky than you would ever see in the city. And on Navy ships, they like to have very little lights on at night, so standing watch around 1 a.m. feels very alien sometimes. And during the nights, without a bright moon to help your vision, you may as well be on a different planet. See, There was this one time I saw a bright green color moving in the water, and it was moving slowly, and I had no clue what it was. Now, my mind told me maybe it's a USO, maybe it's something else, and eventually I was told it was just plankton, but it sure looked freaky to someone who wasn't aware that the glow of that plankton produces. Now, another time, me and another guy were standing watch together, and I decided to look up during 2 a.m. watch and see what things I could come across in the dark morning sky. I would see meteors streak across the sky, but a couple of times there were bright lights moving slowly way out there. Now, perhaps a satellite, maybe, who knows. But I stared for a good 20 minutes in the sky and encountered approximately 15 of those slow-moving lights in different areas of the sky, perhaps many millions of miles apart, who knows. But either way, those were a few times I saw for myself just how vast space really was, and that there's there was such more unknowns out there than we want to explain. I like that story simply because of the plankton, right? The glowing plankton. I've never seen it in the real. Now, I've seen videos of it, and it looks so fake when you see it, like when they brush across it and this whole thing. I can only imagine that the first few times that you witness it, you're going to freak, right? I would freak. We would all freak. Like, it would be a very strange thing to see, especially at 2 a.m. in the dark. But you do think about it. We talk about dark spots, right? And there's state parks that you can go and people go and film and video. Is there any more dark spots than out in the middle of the ocean? No. I mean, the only light's what's reflected off the stars. I bet you see some crazy things. Speaking of crazy things, I found this. This story says, my mom's partner is a fisherman and has some great stories. And my favorite, though, was something he actually saw on land while out at sea. On an incredibly remote and rugged part of Tasmania's west coast, he and the crew noticed what appeared to be a dog on the beach. Now, as they got closer, they noticed it was sniffing around in some seaweed, but it was walking a bit differently as compared to a dog. As they continued to get closer, they also noticed something else. It had what appeared to be the outline of stripes along its back half. Yep. That's right, y'all. Still to this day, they believe that they saw a thylacine or a Tassie tiger, and that my mom's partner's not the only one that's seen it, that regular sightings are still reported in Tasmania by local fishermen seeing them along this rugged part of the coast. So again, how crazy is that, right? How crazy is that? That's a sighting that's worth having. Out there fishing, beautiful day, just living it up. And there's a Tassie tiger. You talk about lose your mind. That's the kind of sighting I want to have. This is the kind of sighting I don't want to have. This person says that I was off the coast of somewhere for about 25 days on a cruiser. And everybody's off the coast of somewhere, bro. Whenever you're on a boat. It was somewhere Pacific, but they wouldn't tell us. I guess it was China, but that's not important. See, I love that. They don't let them know where they're at. So we're assuming this could be military. This could be, who knows, right? We have no idea, but this is pretty interesting part. And I never thought about this happening. We were pretty delirious after being out a long time without port. And it was about 2:30 and we were cleaning stuff, bored. All of a sudden, the ship starts jerking and making all sorts of noise. An alarm I've never heard comes on, and people on the intercom say something to the effect of, "Stay inside the ship." Now, naturally, we didn't listen, and we went back out on our searchlights to see what had happened. We opened the door, and the smell was like walking into a rotting tuna factory. I don't mean trash. I mean a factory that makes rotten tuna. You could literally taste the whale carcass. Apparently, the ship's radar was in op that time, or something was amiss, and it failed to notice the giant dead whale they ran into. There were whale bits all behind us, and the next morning, this person says it was bird heaven. Now, I never thought about that. Imagine running into a dead sea creature. Not just this whale, but imagine the amount of ships that may have hit things that could have been like that, right? Maybe there was some big sea monster or something that, and you run over one, you chum him up, boom, the birds got him, right? It's gone to the birds. Here's another one that says this happened around early 2000s in the Indian Ocean on watch at maybe 2 a.m. Here we go again. Again, y'all, it's around the witching hour, 2 to 3 a.m. Look what we're getting, right? This person writes, pitch black except for stars and quiet apart from diesels. I notice a humming sound, sort of halfway between hearing it and feeling it. Now, this goes on for a while, but then all of a sudden, it got a lot more intense, and suddenly, I notice a glow, and this glow is emanating from way under the water. Now, at the time, I thought it was bioluminescence, like on a shark or a whale or something, but it kept floating upwards, and then suddenly shot off, maybe a half a nautical mile, taking the hum with it in about 1 or 2 seconds. Nothing can move that quick underwater. I reported it, and it was logged, but nothing came of it. Heard stories from shipmates about seeing the exact same thing, but the glow goes into the air. Now, I don't know that about anything about that, but what I saw, I have no explanation for. So, there it is, a USO. These are going back. People are seeing them. Think of the number of, just like this sailor here reported, I thought it was bioluminescence. Think of the number of people that may have seen something along these lines that assumed, like everyone would normally, whether you know what bioluminescence is, whether you know what how it actually works or not, you're so used to hearing that as being an explanation. That's where your mind goes, oh, bioluminescence. When in reality, you might be looking in there and go, well, that doesn't exist here, or it doesn't exist, you know, in this exact moment. It can't work that way. So it's not bioluminescence, but we don't think that way. And I think maybe one day we'll get to where we think a little bit on the crazier sides, right? But either way, bioluminescent glowing came from under the ocean and then shot off. So again, there's another USO, correct? Now, here's one that I picked simply because of the story. This person writes, it was a foggy night off the shore of Long Island, and I was on a 75-foot schooner. The fog was so thick that you couldn't see more than 10 feet in front of you. The captain tells me there's no point to continue my watch at the bow of the ship, and he and I start talking and walking back at the stern. About the time, there's this thunk on the side of the ship, and we both turn to see a figure dressed in black flowing robes walking towards us. Except this figure's on the outside of the ship. The robes are dragging and scratching along the outside hull of the ship, and it just keeps getting closer and closer. Now it's high enough in the air that the top was about even with our heads, and it swirled. The clothing, the robes, everything moved and flowed as it moved towards us. Only for it to turn out that it was just a black flag left there to mark a lobster pot. And we had bumped into the lobster pot as it dragged down the side of the boat. But those first few seconds were terrifying, John. That alone freaks me out. I can't even begin to tell you how freaked out that would make me. But just like that, like we've talked about with the Christensen interviews, people seeing Bigfoot, people, you know, pranking each other and not realizing it. Just like that right there. I wonder how many small things. Now, this was easy. You know, they easily figured out what this was. Come by them. It was a flag. But how many small things like that do we see and take, you know, oh, maybe it was something paranormal. Maybe it wasn't. But also flip that. Maybe there's things that happen that are paranormal that we simply write off as commonplace. So it is a double-edged sword. But how scary would that be, right? You think like death is approaching in this big black robe slide. What are those things called? I'm trying to think. All you Harry Potter nerds, y'all are probably screaming at me. Are they Dementors? Isn't that what I'm thinking about? Like I see something like that move. Oof, yeah, I'm out. So that led me to ghosts on the water, right? Now, we've talked about some crazy stuff over the time, but I've never talked about the Truk Atoll. Now, this place is in Micronesia. It's known as the Chuuk Lagoon but more commonly known as the Truk Lagoon or the Truk Atoll. If you want to know what the atoll is, it's simple. It's like a little cluster of islands surrounded by a ring of coral, right? So it's almost like a little house, but just where the ships can only come and go in certain areas, things like that. The reason I bring up the Truk Atoll is this has a crazy, crazy background to it. And it's very sad, and it's a military thing. I'm gonna let you know. Now, just about, this is a very dark history, just about a week before the attack actually took place, the Japanese military had subsequently brought in a lot of additional ships to this area. See, what this was, the Truk Atoll, was where the Japanese kind of stockpiled a lot of their fleet. The U.S. knew about it at the time, and they slipped down there in February and put the stamp on that fleet. There was approximately 250 Japanese aircraft in this area. Well, I think there was probably more than that. But the thing is on these, there was little, like, I can't really say businesses, but like little commissaries. They were shops there, mechanic shops there. There were airfields. It was a military base set up in the small island atolls right through there. They were destroyers. They were, man, there was everything there. So they, like I said, they had brought in more additional during the attack. I think there was another, it was almost 300 Japanese aircraft were destroyed. I think they sunk between 50 and 60 ships. One of the ships alone had over 400 crew members killed on that ship. How were they killed? It wasn't blown up. They were in the cargo hull. They got trapped in the hold when that ship was sank. Now, what's really wild is most of the fleet that was destroyed is in the exact same spot. You can look this up. T-R-U-K. Look up Truk Lagoon. You can look up the photos. People go diving there all the time. It is a massive, massive graveyard of ships. So massive that it is one of the largest in the world. So for 2 days, February 17th and 18th in 1944, they just pounded, right? Just dropping bombs. I mean, everything. They turned everything loose on it. At the time when it was all said and done, they estimate around 3,000 people lost their lives during that attack in very brutal, violent, hectic manners. So divers now go. Now, like I said, that all went down and it never really was talked about much after that until the 60s, I guess, when scuba diving or just skin diving and everything started picking up. People went back and did all that. But you got to think about it, right? Like 20 years later, it sounds like a long time for those now that are, of course, quite a bit younger than me. But I was born in 75, right? So like 30 years gap from that time doesn't seem like that far from the time I was born to World War II for me. Like it doesn't, that stuff just freaks me out. But the idea that it laid dormant makes sense. Nobody really came and visited. It wasn't a thing till we've gotten to the world that we are now. Now, a lot of people go there. A lot of people love to dive it. You can go to YouTube. Leave it up to YouTube, right? You can go to YouTube and you can watch multiple videos on diving. It's beautiful, but it's beautiful in a very creepy way. It is an eerie place. There are videos out there where you can find footage where there's still gas masks hanging on pegs. There is still ammunition rounds, belt-fed machine guns. The belting is still hanging out of them. There's still loose rounds rolling. Brass is still out there. It is truly a very disturbing time capsule from the 40s, right? Like, it's strange, but it doesn't stop there. Divers there have reported not only seeing all that cool stuff, but coming across the ghostly sound of voices. And these voices, they believe, are coming from engine rooms, from cargo holds, from any of these areas echoing out of these old ships. They've reported seeing shadowy figures inside the remains of these ships. Not fish, not rays, not something moving. Shadowy figures, dementors, right? Moving through the water, down through this whole deal. There are several. People have also, here's what's crazy. People have also reported hearing the running engines of machinery and of pickups because they were large, like big deuce and a half, big, you know, work trucks, military trucks on some of these ships. And as they went down, people report hearing those trucks still running. Now, we all know, too, you know, you're underwater. It's loud. I've never scuba dove, right? I've never done that, or scuba dived or dove or however you want to. I don't know that I could, right? That stuff freaks me out. I've done snorkeling, and it is. It's loud in your ears. So I can't imagine how you would be able to discern unless you could feel that hum. And then that's a whole other thing that's crazy. Now, other wrecked ships in this area, people have talked about hearing grinding noises. People have talked about hearing, like, struggling noises of engines struggling to run still in those ships. And then again, people have talked about hearing voices, human voices, calling out for help, calling out for, you know, whatever that they're doing. It's so big, you can go. I believe Josh Gates did it from Destination Truth. I believe it was on there. I think they did a video about it too. You'll have to go on. I'm pretty sure I saw one of those videos. That would be something else to check out. But I do know that when they did that they claimed that they had seen heat signatures of human figures in the wrecks still, right? Like, that's impossible. But yet there's some sort of something left there, some sort of remnants, some sort of bleed over. And this ocean seems to hold a lot of it, because as much fun as we all have when we go to the beach, the ocean is also a terrifying place, right? Look, all positivity, good vibes, and our hearts go out to those in Tonga. The ocean's a terrifying place, and living close to it freaks me out. And so I wanted to share a couple of these encounters with you. This one was posted, and the idea of those voices coming from underwater, I thought I'd want to share this with you. It says, in July of 2018, I was on a trip to Goa, India, with some of my close friends. And we were on this rented yacht in the Arabian Sea and Indian Ocean for the evening. A lot of us were drunk as hell, except for me. I'd stayed away from the bottles that day because of a bet with a friend. He had bet me around $20 that I couldn't go 2 vacation days without a little party time, drinking and smoking or smoke. But early in the night, some of the more intoxicated friends decided to look out at the vast sea and yell excitedly that they'd seen mermaids around us, which turned out to be dugongs, which y'all all know what a dugong is. If you don't, check it out. They were commonly mistaken for mermaids, right? Which, again, if you're drunk, could you imagine seeing that? First big old water dog just getting down there and pet on a dugong. Says this was around 11:30 or 12 at night, and I helped get them back inside with the others. The party had died down by around 2 or 3 a.m., and I decided to enjoy the view of the sea with a good old late-night snack. I like the way this person thinks. A pack of barbecue Lay's potato chips. Well, now we know that you weren't drinking, but you might have been doing a little smoking. So, I was about halfway through this pack of chips, which means they were done, right? Because they're only half air. Isn't that what we always grab at? When I noticed that these strange human-like figures coming up out of the water, and I, assuming they were actually mermaids seen by my drunk friends, decided to get a closer look. They formed what I think was a circle around the boat and drew closer. Now, I could tell that they had long, dark hair, and it was a moonlit night, and that they had grayish-white faces. They did not rise very far above the water. I could only see their shoulders at most. I was still assuming that they were somewhat ugly mermaids in poor lighting, and I tried waving to them, at which they all stared in my direction. They began to emit what I now feel was the most ghastly wailing I'd ever heard. It was oddly mesmerizing, and as I inched closer to the railing, I felt a strong urge to join them in the water. But I started to back away when I saw their eyes. They had no irises or any white, just plain black. Their mouths seemed to grow in size, and that was when my eyes convinced my ears not to give in. I dropped my chips and pulled away from the railing and fought my urges to jump over. I turned and ran inside, shutting the door behind me and falling to the ground. Everyone else was asleep, and the wailing just stopped abruptly. I was far too afraid to go outside at this point, so I decided to lose the bet and have a fairly good amount of Henny and rum, plus, oh, here we go, half a blunt that my friends had left. I passed out, and the next morning no one was missing, so that was good. But no one believed me, and we had to head back to the hotel that afternoon. So, look, it's real easy, right? It's real easy to discount when people smoke pot or when people drink that what they saw wasn't real. Everybody out there right now, if you've ever drank or you've ever smoked pot, or you do, or you are now, right now, currently, if you're drinking or smoking pot, look around. You see anything crazy? No. You know why you don't see stuff crazy? Because crazy stuff don't always happen when you're high or drunk, all right? It does impair the way you view normal things. But look, look, man, we've all been there, right? We've all been in that other dimension. And we've not seen anything crazy. Like, I've done my fair share of smoking and drinking, right? I've never had anything crazy happen. So just because that's what's going on doesn't mean that that's what contributed to you to see that. This sounds like maybe this person's drunk friends really did see mermaids, and the mermaids also, when they come, they bring the dugong. Maybe that's their pets, because they know people are going to see both. It's easier for them to kind of slip in and out with all that. I don't know. But the idea of hearing something, and what they're saying is it stopped abruptly. So was it all in this person's head? Maybe that's what they heard. Maybe it wasn't vocal. It wasn't loud. It was just infrasound, or it was just telekinetic. It was just to that person. And I'm going to leave you with this. C writes that I must have been around 15 when my grandfather took me out in his small boat to go fishing at night. It was in 1959 in Meredith. Life was hard, but we were happy, and the sea was full of resources. It was full of fish and lobster, and I enjoyed fishing, and I still enjoy it. However, even though I shared the same passion as my grandfather, we were not the best friends. He was a very harsh, sometimes abusive, but mainly when he would drink, that's when he got a little riled up. But I could make it with him. It was another story with my dad, though. Anyway, we took to the sea in his small boat of 24 foot with heavy, noisy fuel engine at around 5 p.m. and had hoped to bring in as many fish as possible by the time it got dark. So we left from a place called Albion, which is on the west coast of Meredith. My grandfather used to work as a postman, but left his job to become a fisherman because that's his passion. And my dad took over his former job. So the sea, it was calm and the air was a little warm, which usually means that it would rain, but the sky was, for the most part, clear. We could see the stars, and the moon came up after the sunset. We reached the place my grandpa knew was fishy, and we started. Now, we didn't talk much, only that when we needed something, and we were not too far from the coast, maybe only 3 or 4 kilometers away. We were in the open sea above what we call in French a haute fond. It's a part of the seafloor bed which raises close to the sea surface and where fish come to feed. See, it's very fishy. We'd been fishing for a good 4 hours and had caught a fair amount. They're fishing structure, y'all. That's how it's done. We did not realize that the current had made us drift away, and we discovered that we had been pulled quite further from the coast. So Grandpa tried to start the engine, and you know where this story goes. Didn't start. He tried again, and again, and again. Nothing. Now, fortunately for us, the sea had remained calm. But the swells were getting a little bit bigger, and it was starting to get a little sketchy. Now, in those days, we were not equipped for security as we are today. There's no radio, no cell phones, no even life jackets. You had to fight for your life. And our boat drifted for another hour. We had stopped fishing and were trying to figure out what to do and what would happen. All kind of dark thoughts got a hold of me, and I imagined myself dying of thirst on the boat in the middle of the sea, or stumble out of the boat rocked by a big wave and drowning in these dark waters full of scary creatures. Suddenly, we started to hear music. It sounded like music from the 40s. We looked around and there was no boat or whatsoever, nothing. The coast was now quite far, maybe 7 to 8 kilometers. And it was impossible that music from the coast would carry all the way out to us. That's when the atmosphere became extra eerie. Then the sound of music became louder, and there was a sound of people talking, exactly like it would during cocktail hour. We tried to look for a ship, but there was none around. There was no mist, and the sky was fair. We were even under the first or last quarter moonlight, which was now high in the sky. And at that point, we both started to kind of panic. Now try to imagine what it's like to feel lost on the sea at night, plus starting to face spooky things. This party sound became closer, and there was still nothing around. Now, Grandpa was fighting now. He's, against all odds, going to get this engine to start. The party sound stopped, and we could now hear whispers all around us. We hardly talked to each other, just looked at each other to understand that we were experiencing the same things. I could not understand what was being said, but they were male and female voices in those whispers. My stomach was so tight with fear that it was sore, and my neck was hard like a stick. I felt like becoming feverish from fear. I got hold of the cable of the engine, and I pulled as hard as I could to try to start it. The whispers were becoming very scary, and we had to leave that place. Suddenly, the engine started. No problem. Busted right off. My grandfather pushed me back, grabbed the throttle, and hammered it. We shot straight to the coast, surfing on the waves pretty much. And I wonder if my grandpa even checked the reefs, looked around, anything when coming back, because we wanted out of this place so much. We eventually made it after almost an hour. The whispers had stayed behind. We were so scared when we reached the beach that we forgot all of our fish in the boat. We came back in the morning and the fish had started to go bad. We lost 75 kilograms of fish that day and never got to know what we encountered. The strangest thing is that there's not any known ships to have wrecked in that area. Folks, is that where the veil lapped over? Sure seems that way. Sure seems like they may have been right next to a cruise ship, some little party barge. Maybe they were on the ship that was yelling and whispering that thought they saw mermaids. And it just so happens that they overlapped, right? Like it just got close. Who knows? It's divided by, what, 50 some odd years? Who knows, right? I'm just throwing it out there. What could it have been? If it's not a ghost ship and it's no shipwrecks in that area, where did that come from? 7-8 kilometers, and then it starts whispering. So it's like whatever they heard saw them, and they couldn't see where the whispers were coming from, but the whispers could see them clearly. Man, again, that's why I'm still so freaked out from the ocean. It just messes with me. Folks, thanks for sticking around. Hope you enjoyed it. Let's take a quick break. We get back, we'll dig around into Mr. Filson's head and see what he has to say about it. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Oh, Okie dokie. Okie dokie. Here we go. We are back. Yeah, that's it. Crazy craziness. Ghost ships. Like I said, I love to touch base on the ghost ships at first. The things that do get me. Now, like we had talked about, we know the creatures in the ocean, right? We've all discussed about people seeing crazy stuff. We've all talked about the USOs, much like I covered the underwater glowing. The thing that still is strange to me are these tales, like I covered there at the end, of the mermaids. The fact that this person thought they saw dugongs, right? But then comes out on the boat and the deck that night by themselves, and they are ringed up around them. There's enough stories out there to where if there is something in the water that's mermaid-esque, and there's also something that's very close to it. Now, don't forget, and the reason I use this is don't forget now, we have wolves and we have chihuahuas, okay? They're both the exact same thing, just basically different sizes. So the exact same thing might be possible in the ocean. That just because you have a snake doesn't mean you don't have a legless lizard, right? They're both the same thing. They just look alike, but different, much along those lines. So, again, maybe the mermaidia, mermen, merwomen, merfolk. Maybe there is something to that. Maybe but how would they breathe? I don't know. Like I said, I go down the whole thing. Look.
There was a guy on the Joe Rogan podcast recently that said he saw a merman.
And wasn't the only one.
In the Seychelles Islands, which my father-in-law told me about the Seychelles Islands, and he said they were beautiful.
And that dude had somebody with him. And then later on, the fishermen of that area in that lagoon area had said they had seen it. They just don't ever talk about it.
Right.
So there is a lot of stuff like the locals. The locals know. The USOs, underwater glows, that stuff, that's still my favorite. But anything that has to do with scuba diving and spirits, I'm out. So I hope y'all enjoyed it because I had a great time talking about it.
Yeah, very cool. Speaking of cool and mysterious, check this out. We have a listener, Andrew the Park Ranger, called in with this crazy story. Check it out.
Hey, this is Andrew. You can use the name. I'm a park ranger up in North Georgia, and during the cold season, it's pretty slow, so we're all sitting around the offices telling ghost stories and experiences, and a coworker of mine put me onto your show after I told my story and started listening to it and actually heard some of the similar stories, so go ahead and tell you this one. Of kind of the only thing that's ever happened to me, you know, I've worked in the parks in North Georgia and never seen anything crazy out there besides more real world tragedies and things. This happened when me and my wife were driving up from Florida on a vacation, leaving Panama City. We kind of stayed the whole day, so we're driving back up all at night to our home, and we're driving down, I think this is around like Dothan, Alabama area, going up, and we're the only car on the road, dark night. I think it was pretty cloudy because neither of us remember any stars or the moon being out. And we're driving, and I think my wife's asleep next to me. She's not saying anything for a while, and out of the corner of my eye, I start seeing this light kind of hovering above the tree line, going in and out, almost like a firefly or lightning bug. And as I'm driving for a while, I notice light just seems getting bigger, and I start to maybe rationalize that it's just like a headlight or something. I've never really thought about much paranormal stuff or believe in anything like that, so everything that came to mind was just real world stuff. But then it kept coming back closer sometimes to the road and going back into the tree line. Sometimes the light would like flicker, like I said, like a lightning bug. And that was about it. Then there seemed to be a time when my wife woke up and asked if I saw that. And her version of the story, the thing had wings and was flat. To me, it only ever looked like a headlight. And then eventually it went back into the woods and disappeared. So, yeah, that's it. Like I said, new listener to your show. I'm actually enjoying it. So, yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
And there we go. I don't know if it was a flying orb, as that's what he saw, but his wife said it had wings. So it was like a roping in Alabama or somewhere around there at night flying around. Who knows what they saw? Or these mantis beings, you know, that not mantis, not like a praying mantis, but like a manta ray.
The manta ray, yeah.
Flying being.
The flying rays.
You know, they talk about with their bioluminescent lights on them and stuff. Well,
you've seen the videos that people claim to have taken, like right up near the separation of like where it goes from us having atmosphere and then drifting into space. And that little separation right there, people will have videos or claim that that's where a lot of those flying rays and stuff, you'll see it, that they just live right through that area. I just think it's the craziest stories ever.
I agree. And thanks for calling that in, Andrew. If you have a story you'd like to share with me and Cam, as well as the other listeners, don't hesitate. Call the show, 888-393-2783. That's 888-393-BRUD, B-R-U-D. You can follow me and Cam on all forms of social media, as well as the show. You can email the show if you don't feel like calling it in, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. Cam, what do you got planned for the rest of your week?
I've got to get some more firewood. I've burned through my firewood. I got to go pick up some more firewood. I've got a bunch of like work, like physical labor going on for the next couple of weeks. And I didn't really want to do that. I want to paint minis and play Dungeons and Dragons and talk about ghosts and
Have you been checking out the new Vox Machina?
I stayed up until it came on. I stayed up until midnight when it came out. And I watched all three of them before I went to bed. I was already going to watch Critical Role. And since they did the one shot, I wasn't really down with it. So I went ahead and stayed up. And then I had to watch all of Vox Machina. So, yeah, I really, yeah, it was worth it.
If you're an adult and you like anime, you should check it out. It's on Amazon Prime. It's not for children. So if they've got kids listening to this, don't let them watch it.
Yeah, there's a little, they throw some profanity around in there.
But, yeah, very, very cool. I know Luke, Little Fizzy. He is going to check out the new Scream movie, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight. And then outside of that, I've just got work and stuff this weekend. I'm still trying to catch up from the
That's what you
vacation.
Get for leaving. That's what you
I know,
get for
it always
going.
Happens, right? Yeah. But it's better than having nothing to do.
That's true.
That's when
that's
I get
very
into
true.
Trouble, right? Idle hands is like the devil's playground.
Well, that's when you come over here and we start painting minis.
Now you're talking.
That's what's going to go down.
All right, folks.
With our new Felix Gray glasses, I'll be rocking mine for mini painting.
Yeah.
I'll be rocking mine at the D&D table.
Right. Well, yeah. Hit them up with those links. It's felixgrayglasses.com/expanded. And it's an awesome product.
I love it.
Right. Well, that's all the time we have for this show. Till next time, folks, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.